Tonight is really kind of mysterious because... Yeah, you better laugh. I don't know who the speaker is tonight. You know, when you get old, you could either... I'm not talking about the speaker, honey. Don't laugh yet. But when you can get old, you get really grumpy or silly, and I'm choosing to be silly. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
My job is to drive everybody crazy before I leave. The speaker that we have for this evening is dear to everybody that meets him. Everybody that meets him falls in love with him. That's just the way it is. And he's got a wife that adores him, and she does have one speck of jealousy, so all you girls can go ahead and ask him for a date if you would like. He looks pretty good, too. But no, I have really asked if he would come up and share his thoughts with us, because he is, I guess this is the second year for class, isn't it? A little bit last, first year, first altogether, not last year at all. And it's just, God just wants to use him. Isn't that wonderful? And when you know God wants you, just step up and say, God, use me. That little girl didn't say those, but God gave her that voice. She got up here and shared it with us. And that's not easy to do when you just walk into a place, you know. But our speaker tonight, everybody already loves him, and it's our Bill. Our Puerto Rico Bill.
Bienvenidos. Voy a hablar en español esta noche.
Muchísimas gracias.
Thank you,
babe. We love you, Bill.
Thank you, honey.
I
love everybody here, and that's what my speech is about tonight, but I love you a lot. Tons. You know that.
I can be jealous without showing it. Can you make it?
You know, I truly consider the people that I know here and those that I will know in the future my family. I've only been coming here 11 months, and I tell you, you can go to a lot of churches over the course of your lifetime. And I haven't darkened a church in 18 years because there was something missing in all the churches that I would go to. There's a lot of love. There's a lot of faith. There's a lot of preaching of the word. There's jokes and laughter and music. But the one thing that is missing that I haven't found in 18 years until I walked into these doors is love. And it's so apparent that every time I walk through these doors, I tell you there has not been one service, not one class, not one hello, not one dinner with friends or lunch that I have not treasured deeply in my heart. And so sincerely, I would not exchange the last 11 months for anything or any other experience with any other people. I'm so proud and glad that you have adopted me into your church family, and my wife, too. But I'm sharing from my heart tonight, and only from my heart, and if some of my experiences ring true in your heart, then that's good. Maybe God used me and opened up your heart and your mind to hear the message that he put on my mind today. So I said I wanted to speak about love, but when I started thinking about that, even though that's tremendous because God's love spans the entire universe from eternity to eternity, comes right through us. There's no changing of it. But somehow, there has to be something a little bit more for me. What is it about love that I love? Because we can love people and we can love things, but where's the real punch? Where's the real power in the love? And so I want to share with you what I see in the church, in Millie, in the body, and what I am learning on my own personal journey, because this is about my journey. Hi, Fred. Spence. Fred's my new girlfriend. I let it out. But the one thing that I said earlier is that you can have faith and you can have hope, and you can read your Bible, But what I'm seeking, and I think what I'm finding, is intimacy. And I think intimacy is the key for me. Because it is something that I think women are well ahead of men upon, that they treasure it, they desire it, and they see the value of it. But for men, sometimes we're a little bit afraid of it. But intimacy leaves you raw and vulnerable. It is limitless in all directions. It hopes, it dreams, and it can cascade you into despair, or it can lift you up to the greatest heights. It always hopes, and it is the backbone of love. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, every sentence in that chapter can be buffeted with the word intimacy. That's how strongly that my walk feels as I grow through here. So how do I develop intimacy, and where do I see intimacy, and how does it grow in my life? And I have come to the conclusion, and I may change my mind, that intimacy comes through experience. And that leads to knowledge. Because until I experience love deeply in my heart, I cannot associate with the intimate part of my heart. And the journey for me is not only to know God intimately, for I am intimately known, for He created me, but it is also to know myself deep within myself. And that's the journey that I'm upon. And as my journey unfolds within the church all the time, I find that I become more and more intimate with myself through the revelation of those relationships through you all. That's why I consider you my family. Because it's family and it's intimacy that can bring us the best and closest lessons to the heart that we can't get at work, that we can't get in the street, that we can't get with casual relationships. We have to be open to allow our heart to be pierced and touched in order to feel intimate. So we make ourselves vulnerable and wide open. So on a typical church day, how does intimacy show up for me? I'm going to take you through a little journey and I'll be quick about it. When I walk through the door and I get a hug and a greeting and a kiss, wow. You know why? Because it's intimate. And you all know that feeling. It's not, hi, how are you? God be busy. It's intimate. It's so intimate and so delicious, I became a greeter. And then before church service starts, one of the really cool things is that we have a healing service. And two people along with God enter into an intimate relationship. The healer steps out of their ego and out of their personality and says, God, make everything that I am disappear for this moment so that you may come through and touch the life for the best and highest good of the person sitting on the stool that I may or may not know or even know what's going on with them. But that is intimacy. That's not praying. That's your desire for somebody's highest good. You can't do that unless you're intimate and you know God's love intimately. And then there is the vulnerability of the person who says, I am willing to sit in this stool and say, I need something. I am open to receive. Sometimes receiving can be very, very difficult. And sometimes saying that you need something can be really hard. But there's a relationship that goes on for a few moments, and God is there, and suddenly the experience of the healing creates intimacy and knowledge. Then we come down here, and we sing, and we raise our vibration, and we have meditation. And then a speaker gets up, and I'm not saying for myself, but I guess I am one tonight, and I see it all the time, and they speak about their personal walk. Well, how intimate is that? That somebody would come up and share the words that God and the spirits have been speaking to them and make themselves splayed open for a crowd of people, and then you as the receiver sit back and intimately receive that soil may receive water, that the seed that's in that soil then can sprout and bloom into the beautiful creation that God ultimately has designed you to be. Intimacy. That's why I crave it. And then the most powerful form of intimacy, or one that I see, is in the message bearing and in the classes. I'll give you an example. And there are many, and y'all have been here for 20, 30 years. I've been here for a few months and going through class once. Last night we had two women that had lost their baby girls. And I say baby girls because one was young and the other one was quite older. However, they're in a healing process. And when Spirit comes in and is dealing publicly with two hearts in such a dramatic way that one of them would describe it as having your skin peeled off and having to walk the world as if everything was okay. If that does not indicate intimacy, I have no idea what intimacy is. But when you experience that and you see that healing, then you know and start to get a fraction of an idea of how God's intimate love affects us. So I was going to give you a definition of intimacy, and I was going to quote Wikipedia. But God said, don't do that. That belongs to Lindy and only Lindy. So intimacy for me, in my journey and in my path, comes through experience and knowledge. And I have a Bible reference that really sums it up beautifully for me. I hope it works for you. It's from Paul in Romans. And he says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Ask yourself these questions as we go along, because Paul is asking questions. Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Will any of these things remove you from the intimate love of God? But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It doesn't get any more intimate than that. There is no possible situation that I, the foolish man that I am, can encounter, can get myself into, where the love of God will be separated from me. That's intimate. What makes Paul, and what gives Paul the authority to say this? He had passed through many, what I call, dark nights of the soul. He totally believed in one thing and persecuted and killed people of the new faith. And he would run into a place like this, which would be a New Testament church at the time, solely because they practiced love. And they were setting the law aside in the sense that grace was bigger, intimate love again. And he would rip them out of there and have them tortured and killed. So he had a whole paradigm shift when he was on his way to Damascus, and suddenly he was blinded by God on the road. And all of a sudden, like many of us that have gone through a dark night of the soul, which is usually our greatest learning experience, everything he thought, everything he believed, his identity, and what he fought for fell away. You talk about your life being shattered? That's a dark night of the soul. So as I progressively bring us through intimacy and God's love, I brought us from the moment we walk in the door, a hug and a smile, all the way down to what happens when the bottom falls out? Where is intimate love then? I will say it never, ever moved. It was there before we fell into it. It's there while we're there. And it's there while we move out of it. So I don't think there's a person probably here who hasn't gone through a dark night of the soul. And usually dark nights of the soul aren't one night. They could last decades. They could last a lifetime. You can carry the dark night of the soul on and on. I've been through a couple of them. They are not fun, but they are what has slayed me and made me the most vulnerable and the most intimate and feeling the experience and coming through of God's love. You okay, sweetie?
Yes.
Okay, somebody give her something. Give her a cough drop. So, what's a dark night of the soul? Got to take care of my peeps. What's a dark night of the soul? Here's my description of it, and I really had to think about this and read upon it. Thank you, Mickey. Sometimes, on our soul path, our soul orchestrates a test that is so great, it will make us question our faith, our sanity, and our soul and God's plan for our life. I don't know where that fits in your life. I know where it fits in my life. It will grind us to the core. It can be an incredible test of spiritual stamina. The point is to grind us down. Through this journey, the soul sloughs off all non-essentials from our personality and our life. At that point, we know that all the chaff comes flying out of our life, and all we are left with is intimacy of God's love. But we don't always feel it when we're going through it. Its desire is to rid us of anything that is not in alignment with our highest good or our most authentic self. This test sheds the limitations of our personality and feels like despair. There is usually no validation or confirmation of the light and the love that we are surrounded by while we're in the dark night of the soul. The test is not about where we want to be. It's about the intimate place our soul wants us to get to. It is the process that transforms us through our most intimate experiences. A true dark night of the soul will come at you with remorseless ruthlessness while opening you up to divine consciousness. I don't want to leave it hanging on a negative thought because that sounds so heavy. I want you to remember what Paul said, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And if you are going through a dark night of the soul, I guess it's easy for me to stand up here and say, whoo, you're having an intimate experience. Enjoy it, because at the end, whenever that end comes, you're going to be doing really good with it. So I have a few minutes left, and I wanted to share one of my dark nights of the soul. And I won't be able to get into detail on it. And several years ago, you know, I was a divorced dad, single dad working shift, and raising the kids. I had 50% custody of my kids, and I was dating my wife. And we had made plans to go to Italy, me and my wife, girlfriend at the time. And 1 week before we left, it was my turn to have an intimate dark night of the soul. I found out that my ex-wife had married a pedophile and dated him knowingly for 2 years and sat through his court dates and then brought it into my children's life. I will not get into the details. I never knew my soul could plummet so low. I have never known the desire to kill, and I will be honest with you. At that point in time, for the saving of my children, if it was not for my wife, my girlfriend at the time, I could have committed some atrocious crime. And I had to pull it together, and over a period of years, I got my children within 10 days, full custody. But that was only the very beginning of healing, court cases, self-lawyering, and a ton of stuff. I could say it now. God was with us, right, honey? Every step of the way. I sure as heck didn't feel it then. But it burned off. You talk about burning off the chaff and taking you to a place of rawness. It is a place that I wish no one to be at. But God was there. And I had to pick up my pallet like a crippled man who was healed and start walking. And I had to learn the tools on how to walk because I was being required a whole new skill set. And Mickey stepped in, and I had actually asked her to leave me and said, I don't think you want to be with me at this point. I'm not a good catch. I have two children full-time. I'm a shift worker, and I'm in for a lot of debt and a lot of lawsuits. She stayed. I owe her my life. One of God's blessings in my dark night of the soul. So I'm going to conclude with this because I don't want to leave it a bummer because, you know, God is faithful. And remember, I said, there's something more to love, and it's the experience of love and the intimacy of love and the knowledge of what we gain. Jesus was invited into Simon the Pharisee's home for a dinner, and he attended. And when he entered the home, there was a woman there who, upon seeing Jesus, knelt at his feet and wept. She washed Jesus' feet with her tears, and then she scrubbed his feet with her hair. She broke open a vial of nard, an alabaster vial of nard, which was a very costly, expensive perfume, and she poured it upon his feet as an offering. And everyone started to grumble, including the Pharisee, who was the most righteous. He had faith. Pharisee, he knew the law. He was a great synagogue and a teacher. Where was the love? And Jesus said to him, Simon, I entered your house, and you did not give me water to wash my feet. Yet this woman has been cleaning my feet and washing my feet with her tears. You did not give me oil for my feet, but she poured expensive perfume upon me. For who has been forgiven a lot, loves a lot. And I say to you that what she did for me will be written about and spoken about throughout the ages. This is what the intimacy of love has done for me. That although I stand here and I have no idea how many years or days or minutes I may have left in my life, what God has done for me has opened my heart such that whatever I have, I surrender. Whatever I can give, I give. And whatever I can do for my Lord, I will do, and my family will do. Because intimacy of love has given me experience and knowledge that there is no other place to be. So, I wish for you, my church family, that you never go through another dark night of the soul. But if that's what you need, that you may know the love of God more intimately, and if that's what you need, that you may grow, and that you may become the flower that God wants you to bloom into, then let us have more intimate times, but let us share them together. Thank you for this time.
Aren't you proud of him, honey?
I've always been.
You've got the best, huh? So does he.
Wife wants me to say the kids are okay. Thank God.
You have one of the better lives, Bill. He retired from being an air traffic controller. And Jody knew him back then, huh? Did you, Jody? Yes.
Not as well as I do now.
Well, George, what do you think of that talk? Wonderful. I think all of you enjoyed it too by the looks of your faces. Yeah.